It's 11 o'clock.
WPHM now presents the Sunday morning worship services of our Savior Lutheran Church. The following program was recorded live at 8:30 a.m. from our Savior Lutheran Church located at 1029 6th Street in Port Huron. Following this broadcast, podcasts of today's service will be available for download by visiting the podcast page at WPHM.net or on the WPHM free mobile app.
Now, here's this week's presentation of our Savior Lutheran Church. With Tony Gallo, Principal of Concept Fund Services, a division of Burden Accountants and Advisors.
In today's demanding and competitive environment, it is essential for business...
Was a beautiful prelude, Lamb of God. John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That's from 1 John verses 28. We mark the fulfillment of that promise as we journey through the Lenten season toward Good Friday. Good morning. And welcome to our Savior Lutheran Sunday morning worship service. This is March 20th, 2022, and it is the third Sunday in Lent. Our service this morning will include Holy Communion, and we meet here every Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. Following a radio broadcast, we'll be at 11 a.m., and at your convenience, you can look into the podcast through either WPHM.net or Our Savior Lutheran's webpage. We have our radio sponsor this morning. She sponsors our radio ministry and wishes to remain anonymous, but she does this for God's glory and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we thank her from St. Clair, Michigan. Our service leader this day will be Pastor Joyce Partica-Steib. Myself, Helen D. Terry, will be assisting with the readings. And our sound technician this day is Hope Dorsbacher, and we thank you. And again, our pianist who is with us through the month of March, Lori Carrier, we thank her for being with us and sharing her amazing talent. The introduction of today's reading. The warnings are plentiful and blunt on the third Sunday in Lent. Cut it out or get cut down. The warnings are accompanied by God's invitation to attentiveness. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. The landowner's ultimatum is forestalled by the gardener's readiness to till the ground. One more year. That is good news for all of us. Thanks be to God. And we will now hear our gathering hymn, Lamb of God.
Enter into the presence of the Holy God, and we gather to worship our God revealed to us as our Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who creates us, redeems us, and calls us by name.
Amen. Amen.
In the name of God who makes a way in the wilderness, walks with us and guides us in our pilgrimage. Amen. Holy One, we confess that we have wandered far from you. We have not trusted your promises. We have ignored your prophets in our own day. We have squandered our inheritance of grace. We have failed to recognize you in our midst. Have mercy on us. Forgive us and turn us again to you. Teach us to follow in your ways. Assure us again of your love and help us to love our neighbor. Amen. Beloved in Christ, the word draws near to you, and all who call out to God shall be saved. In Jesus, God comes to you again and again and gathers you under wings of love. In Jesus' name, your sins are forgiven. God journeys with you and teaches you how to live in love.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, your kingdom has broken into our troubled world through the life, death, and resurrection of your Son. Help us to hear your word and obey it, and bring your saving love to fruition in our lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Our first reading for this morning is from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 through 9. To those who have experienced long years in exile, the return to their homeland is a celebration of abundant life. God calls them into an everlasting covenant of love. Those who return to God will enjoy new life and forgiveness, because God's ways are not our ways. Oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to. Because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Our psalm is Psalm 63, and the antiphon, O God, eagerly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. O God, you are my God. Eagerly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. As in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Therefore I have gazed upon you in your holy place, that I may behold your power and your glory. For your steadfast love is better than life itself. My lips shall give you praise. So will I bless you as long as I live, and lift up my hands in your name. O God, eagerly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My spirit is content as with the richest of foods, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the night watches. For you have been my helper, and under the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. My whole being clings to you. Your right hand holds me fast. O God, eagerly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. Our second reading is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 13. Paul uses images from Hebrew scriptures and prophecy to speak the truth of Jesus Christ. He is our rock, our water, our food, and our drink. Christ is the living sign of God's faithfulness. Here begins the reading. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized and to Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and they were struck down in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples for us, so that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not become idolaters, as some of them did. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did. And some 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents. And do not complain, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. These things happened to them to serve as an example, and they were written down to instruct us on whom the ends of the ages have come. So if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. No testing has ever overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Matthew 4:17.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Asked about current tragic events, Jesus turns a lesson about whether suffering is deserved into a hard call to obedience. Jesus then tells a parable that holds out hope that the lifetime for ultimate judgment will be tempered by patience. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. At that very time, there were some present who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans?" "No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will perish as they did." Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them. "Do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem?" "No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then Jesus told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to Christ. So sometimes we find sermon illustrations in places that we least expect it. A few years ago, a live-action version of the movie How the Grinch Stole Christmas was created. In the opening scene, everyone is shopping. The cash register is opening and closing as people are just handing the cashier money. Cindy Lou Who, the cute little girl that the Grinch meets, her father is reading off the list of what they still have to buy. As Cindy Lou is carrying a stack of presents taller than her, and she asks, "Dad, doesn't this seem like a bit much?" Cindy Lou's mom has taken every light in the house, even down to the refrigerator light bulb, to use in her outdoor lights display in an attempt to win against her neighbor. Cindy Lou, who asks about why they spend money on what seems to be junk, and spends most of the movie questioning the meaning and motivation behind Christmas. Now, I realize that most of us have put Christmas behind us and are looking forward to the warmth, growth, and sunlight that spring brings. But I think the writer of Isaiah in this morning's first lesson and the character of Cindy Lou Who are asking a very similar question. Why do we spend money, time, and energy on things that won't last? To put this passage into a little bit of context, Isaiah 55 is in a series of passages that were written proclaiming hope and salvation to those in exile. This particular passage is addressed to people who are struggling. They have been conquered and have been exiled. From the perspective of the author, this passage is addressed to people who have wasted their resources. They are seeking the wrong place, working for the wrong goal, and now they are called to listen and eat what is good and take delight in rich food. As those in exile hear these words, they might have heard them as simplistic and useless, because they are being invited to drink and buy wine and milk without money and without a price. They are thirsty, they are hungry, and they are being invited to enjoy lavishness at no cost. The listeners are being asked to put their energy into something that will last and satisfy far more than they can imagine. The author of this passage is attempting to help the listeners to remember the ways that God has acted with their ancestors, reminding them of the covenant that God had with David, an eternal covenant in which God promises steadfast love to David, a promise that is continued with those who are in exile and those who live now. The author of Isaiah is using this passage to remind those who are in exile that God is the source of all that is good, that is yet to come, and that God is faithful and will keep the promises of the covenant, even if those who are hearing may not completely understand the way or see the possibilities that lie ahead. As human beings, when we are in the midst of struggle, it is sometimes difficult to see past what is in front of us. It is easy to put energy into things that make us feel as if we're moving forward, give us a sense of control, or maybe help us to feel like we are moving past what we are struggling with. We become independent and self-sufficient, or at least we want to be. I'm fine. I can handle this. I can do this. But in the midst of challenging times, it can be difficult to remember where we have been, how God has acted, and the promises that God has made. And it is possible that these things happen outside of moments of struggle, too. Sometimes we are chasing a promotion or a raise, a title or an award, and we can forget about what is actually meaningful, the things that are most important, and the people we were created and meant to be. Like Isaiah is attempting to do with those in exile, Lent is a time to draw us back. It is a time that invites us to consider our own sinfulness and our need for repentance. We are invited to consider the ways that we have wandered away from God and return to and recommit ourselves to the relationship with God that offers steadfast love that will last forever. I think God also knows that as human beings, we need reminders of these promises, the promises that God offers. I think that's why we were given the gifts of baptism and communion. In these gifts, we are reminded of the covenant and God's steadfast love for us. In the waters of baptism, we are washed and made new. God claims us and makes us God's own and promises a love that will never leave us. In the gifts of bread and wine at communion, we are invited to a banquet that offers us grace and love far beyond measure, a banquet that feeds our bodies and our souls, that invites us into a covenant of everlasting love, a promise God made and kept, even when we didn't and we don't. By the end of the book or the movie, whatever you prefer, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the Whos of Whoville understand that the things they were putting their money, time, and energy into weren't all that important. In fact, Christmas came without those things, as it often does. The Whos understood that the relationship that they had, or the relationships that they had, were more than what made things special. That is what made this time special. Those were going to last far beyond that one day. So think about your life for a moment. What are the things that you put time and energy into that won't last or that don't satisfy? What are the ways that you have wandered away from God? How is God calling you back into relationship and love? What are the things that you can put time and energy into that go beyond this moment, that will last, that will satisfy? What do you need to let go of so that you can find the peace, love, and joy that God offers you freely with no strings attached? What ways is God bringing forth life for you and inviting you to be a part of it? These aren't always easy questions to answer. But whatever the answer is, God's got grace, love, and mercy to satisfy. A grace, love, and a mercy that will last far beyond today and into the future. May we take that time, this time of Lent, to find those moments of grace, to find God's love, and to hold on to that, whatever we're going through. Amen.
Our hymn of the day is Just As I Am.
Thank you.
Let us affirm our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Drawn close to the heart of God, we offer these prayers for the church, the world, and all who are in need. We pray for the church around the world in all its forms, for pastors, deacons, bishops, chaplains, and mission developers, for church councils, committee chairs, and all lay ministry leaders, for congregations that contemplate difficult decisions about the future of their ministry. Merciful God, receive our prayer. For the health of this planet and the well-being of its creatures, for the lands impacted by droughts and at risk of wildfires, for fig trees and vineyards that produce fruit for our nourishment and delight, for animal habitats threatened by climate change, merciful God, receive our prayer. For those called into positions of civic responsibility, for judges, attorneys, and court administrators tasked with uncovering truth and delivering justice, for activists and community leaders who cast a vision of a more compassionate and equitable society, merciful God, receive our prayer. For those who call upon you for mercy, for all who live in poverty and experience hunger, for any who feel tested beyond their strength, for those who are hospitalized or near death, and for all who are in need of healing. Lord, especially this day we remember in prayer the family of Jim and Jane Borntrager with the passing of Jim's sister Kim. Ray Shinosky, Lois Langoff's daughter-in-law, Colleen, Pastor Don Dorsbacher, Faith Smith, Sarah Mayer Flatt, Sherry Gasco, Gordon Doty, Marilyn Kewen, Lois Langoff, Gail McFarlane, Leon Quater, Sandy Smith, Pastor Joyce Partica Stibe, Pastor Ken Stibe, and their son Mason, Joy Dorsbacher Turno, the men, women, and children of Ukraine, those whom we name in our hearts, and those serving to protect our nation. Merciful God. For the advocacy efforts of this congregation, for those whose faith leads them to speak difficult truths and engage in difficult conversations with policymakers, for those who promote mercy over vengeance or retaliation, merciful God, receive our prayer. Lord, we pray for the communities, the safety of our schools, and we pray that you send your Holy Spirit, intercessor and guide, to lead us, direct us, protect us, and strengthen us. For those whose earthly journeys have ended, we give thanks. With all the saints, we praise you for the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Merciful God, receive our prayer. Accept the prayers we bring, O God, on behalf of a world in need, for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen. We have a few announcements this morning I'd like to share with you. The Lutheran World Relief Organization is asking for monetary offerings to help provide relief for the people of Ukraine. You can give directly on their website, lwr.org, or send donations here to Our Savior Memo Ukraine, and we will send in a collective donation. As we've been mentioning for several weeks, we will be holding a congregational meeting April 3rd, directly following the 8:30 worship service. There will be a Zoom option available. And our guest pastor for service this day will be Deacon Robin Abbott. Our Good Friday service will be held April 15th at 7 p.m. and led by licensed lay minister Scott Pike. Our Easter Sunday service will offer both an 8:30 a.m. and an 11 a.m. in-house, in-person service, also led by licensed lay minister Scott Pike. And as always, we continue to thank all of you who continue to support Our Savior Lutheran financially with your gifts. They are truly a blessing to the continuation of the ministry here in Port Huron, Michigan, and also throughout the world. So thank you. Also, a special thank you again to piano organist Lori Carrier for being here with us and sharing her talent and gift of music. It truly is a gift, and we thank you. And with that, we will hear our offering hymn, Chief of Sinners.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Extravagant God, you have blessed us with the fullness of creation. Now we gather at your feast where you offer us the food that satisfies. Take and use what we offer here. Come among us and feed us with the body and blood of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You comfort your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you have made all things new in the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Each time you do this in remembrance of me." Gathered together at our Lord's table, let us pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Here is food and drink for the journey. Take and be filled. The body of Christ given for you, take and eat. The blood of Christ shed for you, take and drink. May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Blessed Jesus, in this rich meal of grace, you have fed us with your body, the bread of life. Now send us forth to bear your life-giving hope to a world in need. Amen. Thank you. are children of God, anointed with the oil of gladness and strengthened for the journey. Almighty God, motherly, majestic, and mighty, bless you this day and always. Amen. Go in peace. Jesus meets you on the way. Thanks be to God.
Postlude near the cross, piano solo. This hymn echoes the words of the Apostle Paul from Galatians 6. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. The song is also a prayer that the Christian world will always remember the redemptive work of Christ on the cross and live faithfully in that memory. Thanks be to God.